Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, blessed to be here with you and with my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us today. Well, Rhonda and I thought it would be a good to share some recent personal stories and experiences with you from the pro-life ministry there at 421 South College Avenue so that you can know what a difference your prayers and support are making in the lives of others and in helping to build up a culture of life and purity right here in Bloomington. Good things are happening, thanks be to God, and we're going to share some of that with you today. But first things first, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Father, all life is in your care. You have entrusted us to one another that we may show our brothers and sisters the same love you have for us. We pray then for the least among us, the children in the womb. Protect them from the violence of abortion. We pray for all those unborn children who are scheduled to die at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Save them from death. Give new hope to their parents that they may turn away from the desperate act of abortion. Grant conversion to the abortionist and to the staff. Show us how we are to respond to the bloodshed in our midst and lead us to the day when that place of death will be transformed into a haven of life. Guard us with joy and your peace, for in you life is victorious. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News.
A violent political satire film called The Hunt, which depicts liberal elitists hunting down and killing a pro-lifer for sport, is scheduled to be released by Universal Pictures on September 27th. In wake of the several mass shootings in the country, several ads for the film have been pulled, but The Hollywood Reporter is indicating that the movie, which is rated R, will still be released in theaters. The film was originally called Red State vs. Blue State and is an anti-President Trump propaganda piece that portrays wealthy elitists tracking down and slaughtering a dozen red state Americans who have been kidnapped and released into a hunting ground. The script for the movie outlines how one of the characters is stalked and hunted like prey for being anti-choice. And in a recent webcast, the Thomas More Society, a law firm based in Chicago, outlined Illinois' shocking and sinister new abortion law and the impact it will have on the practice of abortion in the Prairie State. The Illinois Reproductive Health Act was signed into law this past June by Governor J.B. Pritzker, who had vowed to make Illinois the most progressive state and a national leader in protecting so-called women's reproductive rights. In the webcast, Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel of the Thomas More Society, sounded the alarm about the extremism of the bill and outlined the legal fight against it. The RHA enshrined abortion as a fundamental right in the Illinois Constitution, over and above other rights like the freedom of speech. And among numerous other things, it declared that the preborn child has no legal rights under Illinois law, removed licensing and inspection requirements for abortion facilities, removed the requirement that abortion-related deaths be investigated by a coroner, and ended the requirement that fetal anesthesia be offered when viable, pain-capable babies are aborted. And an abortion facility without a state license continues to remain open in South Bend. Whole Women's Health, which began doing business on June 27th as a result of a preliminary injunction, is performing medical or chemical abortions while remaining unlicensed. The Chicago Tribune recently wrote how the clinic's tenuous survival has been championed by South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg, whose national campaign includes a pro-abortion platform. Buttigieg had opposed the opening of a woman's care center right next door to the abortion business, but the Pregnancy Resource Center was able to find an alternative location across the street and opened on July 20th. Whole Women's Health is a national abortion chain with a history of multiple health and safety violations. And finally, approximately 20 unborn children were killed this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. Sidewalk advocates and prayer partners were on hand to offer the the women coming in from around the Hoosier State and from Kentucky love, help, and hope so that they would not have to go through with the violence of abortion. Abortion Day wrapped up more quickly than normal, with the presumption that many of the women opted for a chemical abortion, or RU486. Last year, half of the women who came to Bloomington to abort their unborn child chose the medical abortion route. And that's your weekly In the News. So, Rhonda, over the past month or so, we've extended our sidewalk advocacy coverage at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood to other days of the week besides Thursdays. And we're seeing some good things happening, aren't we?
We sure are.
Yeah, well, we're going to get to that in a moment. But I first wanted to bring up a couple of things that are going on that just demonstrate the great spiritual battle that is being waged right now in this fight for the right to the life of the unborn, because it truly is a battle. We see a lot of setbacks, but we also see some victories. We know God will sometimes part that veil and show us how He is indeed at work, and He wants to encourage us to persevere in complete faith and trust, knowing that in the end, life is victorious. But before we get to talking about some of those signs of hope, especially those local ones, I want to bring up a couple of news items that can easily fall under the radar. And I want to bring them up because they not only require our prayers, but also we need to know what's going on so that we can inform others and be prepared to do battle against the encroaching forces of the culture of death. Now, the first item I want to mention is that near the beginning of last month, we saw the country's largest teachers union, the NEA, making a declaration in support of, quote, the fundamental right to abortion under Roe v. Wade, close quote. Rhonda, did you hear about this?
Yeah, I sure did.
It's really simply nonsensical, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, we've got an organization whose entire existence depends on their being children to teach, who fully supports killing them if they are in the womb. So at the National Education Association's Representative Assembly, which was held in Houston, Texas in July, the following statement was adopted by the Teachers Labor Union. And here it is. Through existing media channels, the NEA will honor the leadership of women, non-binary, and trans people, and other survivors who have come forward to publicly name their rapists and attackers in the growing international Me Too movement. Furthermore, the NEA will include an assertion of our defense of a person's right to control their own body, especially for women, youth, and sexually marginalized people. The NEA vigorously opposes all attacks on the right to choose and stands on the fundamental right to abortion under Roe v. Wade. The most misogynistic forces under Trump want to abolish the gains of the women's right movement. Women's leadership is essential for any successful egalitarian movement and therefore must be protected.
Well, there are 3 million members of the NEA, and obviously their influence upon the minds of our nation's children is quite substantial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we should just all be weeping for our youth at hearing this.
And, absolutely.
And what's also really problematic with the NEA statement is that it is in lockstep with other left-leaning organizations who are all ramping up the rhetoric by explicitly stating that abortion on demand, even up to the moment of birth, is a fundamental human right. And that's just really scary. It seems like the NEA is caving into the pressure to adopt this more radical stance. We're seeing ever more clearly this great divide going on. The middle ground on this issue is becoming smaller and smaller as people are forced to take sides, all one way or the other.
Well, we saw another example with the recent abrupt firing of Dr. Leanna Wen as the CEO of Planned Parenthood. Now, she actually released a statement citing philosophical differences between her and the abortion giant over the direction and future of Planned Parenthood. Wen admitted that she saw the priority of Planned Parenthood moving in a direction that was doubling down on abortion rights advocacy, especially in the political arena. She, as a practicing doctor, did not agree with that model, and she thought the organization could reach more people and bridge some social gaps by focusing more on women's health care.
Mm-hmm. The ousting of Wen was a big surprise to me, and it just solidified this idea that abortion supporters are becoming more dogmatic about this issue. No more of the safe, legal, and rare mantra that they've been peddling for decades, but instead this notion that the right to kill your unborn child is a fundamental human right. And, you know, oh, the irony in that statement, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And let's be clear, Dr. Wen says that she still supports abortion rights, and she considers it to be a necessary part of women's health care. But whereas she believes the focus should be on the health care side of it, well, Planned Parenthood wants someone at the helm who places the political side of it at the nucleus. I also read somewhere that Wynn also refused to use trans-inclusive language, and that this also contributed to that strained relationship between her and Planned Parenthood.
So you've got to think that Dr. Wynn does see, at least to some extent, the extreme nature of this entire movement.
Yeah, pro-lifers all around the country are sure hoping and praying so. And of course, you probably heard that just before Planned Parenthood fired her, she had suffered a miscarriage.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so let's continue to keep Dr. Wynn in our prayers and beg God to shower her with many special graces so that she will experience this great conversion for His honor and glory. Wynn's firing from Planned Parenthood and this new abortion declaration passed by the NEA are examples of how the abortion movement is becoming quite extreme and is forcing both individual and organizational supporters of abortion to publicly declare their backing of unlimited and on-demand abortion right up to the moment of birth. And this diabolical machination will not stop until this country of ours and all nations throughout the world declare abortion as a fundamental human right. So we cannot allow ourselves to grow weary in this battle, but we must redouble our efforts and receive our strength through the sacraments and an intense prayer life. Okay, so let's quickly move on to another threatening problem, these so-called self-managed abortions or at-home abortions. And there are many already saying that not only is a boom in this type of practicing coming, but it's already here.
Yeah, so there's this insidious push from some within the abortion movement to normalize at-home abortions. Women purchase pills or herbs over the internet and then take them at home in order to cause an abortion. And one of the main reasons that abortion supporters are encouraging this particular method is because they are concerned with states passing ever stricter abortion laws. Not only that, as we know, many abortion centers are closing. And so for some women, the nearest abortion center can be a distance off. But there is also a growing number of women who prefer this method, even though they may live in a state where abortion is completely legal up to birth and where abortion facilities are close by. They claim that at-home abortions are completely safe and you can do the dirty deed in the privacy of your own home, where you don't have to worry about the stigma associated with going to an abortion center, nor deal with the protesters that are out there often.
Yeah, so currently there is no data on just how many at-home abortions are going on, but just based on anecdotal information, it's safe to say that not a small number of women are turning to this procedure. Now, we've already been seeing a huge jump in the number of chemical or medical abortions being done at abortion centers. In fact, here in Bloomington, about one half of the women coming in for an abortion opt to take the RU486 pills instead of going the surgical route. So this has just kind of paved the way for these at-home abortions. There are numerous websites based abroad that do supply abortion pills to women via the internet throughout the world. And there are also these networks that assist women in doing abortions at home. It's a growing trend and one we need to pray much on so that it will be squelched. Who knows how many unborn children are being killed every day from these at-home abortions. It's just truly tragic as the culture of death marches so craftily on. And I do want to quickly point out that those who are involved with and promoting this new movement do not like to call these at-home abortions, Rhonda. They prefer to call them self-managed abortions. That's newspeak for you. And the reason they prefer this term is because they say it reflects a woman's ability to, quote, manage the entire process of abortion, close quote. And that's how the devil gets us, isn't it? Control, power, you will be like God.
Yeah. Well, at least there are a few states that have laws specifically banning abortions done at home outside of a clinical setting. They include Delaware, South Carolina, Arizona, Idaho, and Oklahoma. Now, New York, of course, recently eliminated its ban on them earlier this year. It seems like abortion rights even trump a woman's physical safety.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, we're going to be keeping an eye on this growing trend. And in the meantime, this is another good reminder for us to be praying every day for every woman who is just finding out that she is pregnant and is tempted to take the life of her unborn child, either by calling Planned Parenthood or by getting on the internet and searching for these non-clinical providers. Well, okay, it's time to move on to brighter things, good things going on in our pro-life efforts right here in Bloomington. So, Rhonda,
I've been doing a lot of talking so far today. I'm going to give you a chance to get in here and tell us about the wonderful things that are going on there at 421 South College Avenue, things that give us hope that we can and will see the end of abortion here in Bloomington. And as we said at the beginning, we've recently extended our sidewalk advocacy program to other days of the week to try to reach the women who are coming in initially for abortion counseling, as well as trying to reach out to those women coming in for birth control or men for STD testing. Well, you've had a lot of good conversations on all of these fronts. So why don't you tell us about some of those exchanges?
Well, I want to first start, and on previous shows, we have talked about how impurity is at the heart of the abortion issue. And probably a couple years ago when we were doing abortion counseling, you know, we would occasionally see a man coming down and going into Planned Parenthood. And I tended to not really address him. But since we've been going down there this last month or so, and I have been seeing, you know, men going in there, I will call out to them, introducing myself as usual, and ask them, are you coming down for testing? And they, of course, respond yes, because they're coming down for STD testing. And I let them know I have something for them. So they have come over to me. And this has happened on about five or six occasions. And I first start off by letting them know that there is a website that they can go to called chastity.com. And it's one that gives them a lot of really good tips on dating, on marriage, cohabiting, and it helps to basically give them some positive reinforcement of living a life of chastity. Okay, so what I do is I bring up to these men that our society pushes you know, sex anytime with anyone type of mentality, and that's not really what God intends for any of us. You know, He wants us to practice chastity before marriage, and if we do so, we don't have to experience the anxieties of contracting STDs or even unplanned pregnancies. And they kind of look at me and say, yeah. And so
because they're not hearing it from anybody else, are they? This is the first time.
Exactly. And then I give them a miraculous medal, and I let them know that there's a great story that goes with it and that Our Lady is, you know, the model of purity. And then I tell them that I'm going to be praying for them and hope that everything goes well and that they will come out and they will have a sense of I'm going to start over and live this life. Life of chastity. And you know what? In all of those instances, they looked at me as if I was giving them permission to live this kind of life. And they are all in agreement. They walked away with a smile and they thanked me. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, we have to have a lot of faith in God because we know that God is working the grace of conversion down there without us even seeing it. And, you know, we may be intimidated to have these kinds of conversations because, really, to be honest with you, I thought that they would probably just laugh at me and like, oh, yeah, here's this old woman telling, you know, telling us to live this life.
But it's written on their hearts, isn't it? And it's
absolutely,
obvious.
Absolutely. They know it. I mean, all of us are called to a life of holiness, and it's attractive. And these men realize that, you know what? I've been experiencing days of anxiety worrying about this, and this makes so much sense. I wouldn't have to worry about it if I just, you know, lived a life
of chastity. Because these STD diseases can ruin their lives. For the rest of their lives, they have to live with this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if they can come out with and have a positive test, I'm sure they are having second thoughts about the current life that they are living and they want to change things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was funny because just this past week, I normally, you know, don't ask the men if they're Catholic or anything, but this one man comes over and I'm giving him the Miraculous Medal and I asked him, are you familiar with the Miraculous Medal? And he said, oh, yeah.
Wow.
So occasionally I am prompted to ask. So, you know, I kind of talked a little bit about Our Lady, and he just really walked away with a sense of peace, even though he hadn't gone in yet for his testing or anything or setting up his appointment. But, I mean, it was just a fantastic conversation, and it's one that is inspiring me to really reach out to everyone going down there.
That's right.
That we are called to a life of chastity when we are outside of the state of marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, there are other conversations that we're having. Sometimes women will come down and they're going in for birth control. So we've been having conversations with them about natural family planning and the fact that it is 100% safe. It doesn't use any hormones. It actually teaches women to read the signs of their bodies. And, you know, our bodies will tell us if something's wrong or if it's healthy. And, you know, for most of those women, they have very healthy bodies. They just need to read the signs of fertility and know when they are fertile and when they aren't. And I talked to them about abstinence. And so they actually, you know, they look at me and kind of they engage in some conversation. Sometimes they don't. You know, it's amazing to me how many women, you know, say, well, I don't think I can do that because, you know, I just want something that's easy, that I don't have to think about.
Sure, we live in that type of culture and society, quick, everything instant.
But you know what? If you get breast cancer or if your hair starts falling out and you have all these long-term effects from this hormonal birth control, I mean, how easy is that? I mean, that's going to be a life that they're going to have to deal with. And I just don't understand why people don't want to do this up front and live a healthy life so they don't have to deal with all those other issues. Right. Because that would be far worse than having to take your temperature
right, every morning.
And look at your, exactly. It's so easy.
Yeah. Yes.
So we've had some really good conversations down there. But really, as we have said, the heart of the issue is purity, and that is what we have to teach. Because if we can start with the men and teaching them purity, and even the women, they're going to avoid all of these problems. And abortion may eventually go away.
Exactly.
You know? But they need people like us down there telling them it's okay to be chaste.
And loving them enough to speak the truth.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, perfect love drives out all fear, our Lord says, right?
Yes.
And so if we love, that fear and intimidation of approaching these people is going to be driven away, right?
Yeah. You know what? We are called to a life of evangelizing and bringing the good news to everyone. And what better way to do it then right down there on the front lines where we are dealing with the culture of death, and that includes all of these people that are living very impure lives. And, you know, they need to hear these words. And really, I mean, in a lot of these conversations, I feel like they are welcoming these words because they're not hearing them. And our culture is just leading them down such a dangerous path. And they know it because they have started down that path and they don't like what they are experiencing.
That's right, especially psychologically too. You know, we've talked a lot about the physical. There's all this psychological burden that is placed, especially in our youth, because they are not meant to be doing these things. And
yes,
the whole world is screaming, do it, do it, do it.
Absolutely.
And they need somebody there out of love that says, no, you don't. It's not good for you. It's okay. You don't have to.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you've also had an experience too. Lots of good things there on the purity front, but you've also had an opportunity to help be the instrument to save a set of twins.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so last week, I was actually nearing the end of my shift, and a car pulls in, and they were kind of sitting in their car for a couple of minutes, and when they get out, I had one of our blessing bags that contains information of help to them if they're experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, as well as miraculous metal. So as they get out, I call over to the woman and let her know who I am and that I'm a sidewalk advocate for women's health. And I said, this bag is for you. So as she's starting to approach me, I said, you know, we are here to offer some great information, but if you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, we are here to offer you some other options. And she just looked at me, and you could tell the tears were starting to well up because it was probably a decision she hadn't made yet, but she knew which side of the side, you know, which that she needed to choose life. But she was struggling. She was there with a man who, you know, could have been her boyfriend or her husband, maybe her brother or someone. But she came over and she just looked at me and she grabbed me and she was kind of shaking a little bit. And then I told her, I said, it's going to be okay. We're here for you. And as she let me go, I said, can I take you over to the Women's Care Center where we can offer you some help? And she just smiled and shook her head yes. I looked over at the gentleman, and he also had a big smile on his face. It was like, yes, it was a sense of relief. And had we not been down there, she would have gone in there to her abortion counseling appointment.
Feeling alone, feeling like nobody cared. I might as well do this, right?
Yes. And, you know, as we were walking over to the Women's Care Center, I was letting her know that they were going to provide her with some information and what her options are. She was asking me, so are there people outside of all of the abortion facilities offering this kind of help? And I said, well, I said, there are a lot of us out there all across the country and actually all around the world. But I said, yes, we're out here to offer all kinds of help to women who are coming down for all kinds of reasons. So she just seemed so thankful that we were there.
Oh, yeah, and especially the twins at that.
Yes.
Not just one, but
yes.
Two.
Yeah, when she came back and said that she was pregnant with twins, I said, wow. It was a great feeling and just really, you know, as many times as we go down there, we don't see results. We don't really have to see results because these little signs of hope,
yes,
and these little signs that we're doing what God wants us to do,
yes,
is enough to just, you know, if all of our efforts are for this one woman and her twins, it was all worth it.
It was.
I can do this the rest of my life.
Right. And we are seeing so many signs of hope, aren't we?
Absolutely.
I mean, people are open, they're searching because things are getting so out of control and crazy,
yes,
that people need to be grounded more and they know there's something else. And so
yes,
it's so important that we be there to be that sign of hope and that sign of love and that sign
of
truth.
We need to be thankful that the abortion issue is now on the front burner,
yes,
and that we are seeing both sides of the issue and how far both sides are willing to go, because Americans are being forced to choose,
mm-hmm,
what are we willing to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, God does not make us to accept death.
That's right.
And so these people are starting to veer more towards the pro-life side, which is really what we've been praying for.
Yeah, and God really is bringing a good out of this extremism that's going on right
Absolutely.
Now. Yeah, and we're getting ready to near the end of our time here today, so I do want to bring up the Women's Care Center because they are doing some fantastic work, and I just want to tell our listeners of some of the statistics, the good news these beautiful ladies are doing to help save lives right here in Bloomington. Since the opening of the center, and you probably know, have heard these statistics, Rhonda, abortions have declined in Monroe County by 13%. Over the past year, over 600 women have walked through their doors and continue to come back. They performed 648 ultrasounds last year in 2018. And get this, they are currently expecting the births of 246 babies.
Oh, you know, praise be God.
and probably more by now.
Yes.
So, and one in four babies born in Monroe County now starts at the Women's Care Center.
Wow.
So just some great things going on. And just real quickly, too, we want to put a plug in for them out there. They need diapers, size 1 and newborn. So anybody that can bring those in, just show up with your diapers, size especially 1 and newborn. They go through them a lot. So, and then I'll close, too, with just some what all you're talking about, just in the numbers, too, how it translates into saving lives, too, because I want to bring up the fact that in 2017, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood did 1,026 abortions. Okay, so that's 1,026 unborn children killed in 2017. In 2018, thanks be to God, that number went down, 887. So that's still way too many, all right, but that's 140 less. And thanks be to God for that. Well, we are out of time for today. Thanks so much for being with us and for your support and prayers. If you have any questions, comments, or a suggestion for a future show, just go to wombradio.com. And click on the Contact Us Now button right there on the homepage. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.